don't want to break it. Thank you, Randy. I appreciate you very much. So it's always my prayer and always my desire that I'm serving God when I stand up here, that He is the one that has the message for you. So I pray that, I pray always that He gives me strength to stay standing here, because my nerves are always, I'm always nervous when I first stand up here. So I have to say that I truly believe that God intervened, because when I was thinking, when I was praying about what I should speak of, well, I had some thoughts. Well, I was going to tear it up. I was going to come up here and talk about how terrible this world is and share with you guys how angry I am at mankind. Just again tonight, on the way here, I'm thinking, I'm going through in my head what I have to say to open, to what I'm going to do, and this car comes barreling out from a side road and just about T-bones another car. Two cars in front of me, and we all stop. And the car that almost got hit was able to swerve out of the way and go up a little ways, and the car that he took off. Well, that car, oh, that must have made him mad, because he just slammed on the brakes and did a U-turn right in the middle of Chrysler. Took off after. Boy, I was so gonna just do that, you know? And that's not what I've got tonight. Thank the Lord that that's not what I have tonight. So how many of you this week celebrated Thanksgiving? Everybody. Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving? Yeah. Did you spend a lot of time preparing a feast to share with family and friends, loved ones? Awesome. Awesome. I did as well. I shared a meal with my younger sister. Two of us are single, family spread out. We get together on holidays now, and she cooks, I cook, we put it together, we spend a day together. It's something that we didn't do for years, because she's 9 years younger than me. She wasn't a part of my lifestyle, my events, my social. I don't have a social life, but when I did have one, she wasn't a part of that, you know? So it was a great blessing. How many of you went around the table and shared blessings? How many of you talked about the blessings, your blessings, Thanksgiving? What were you thankful for? Sean, what were you thankful for? What did you share? For family. He's thankful for his family. That is an awesome blessing. I have a family, and I'm so thankful for that. I am. Belinda, what did you share? I know in the Smith house that Mike forces everyone. It was a wonderful tradition. You go around the room and you share what you're thankful for. Belinda, what did you share this year? For God and all of His blessings. That's wonderful. How about you young people? Did you share what you were thankful for this year? Anybody? It's all right. I'm thankful to God when He intervenes in my life. And He did this week. He did. I've recently been in touch with an acquaintance, a friend, from way back, from California days, probably, when were the 90s? Long time ago. And on Thanksgiving, she shared a scripture with me. And the funny thing is, I'd been searching for a Thanksgiving scripture. You know, I was running around, I'm got a turkey on the grill, I'm doing all this stuff, but I kept stopping and looking. I used the app. I was searching for a Thanksgiving verse to read, something to tie the day together. And this verse, she sends this verse to me, and it wasn't any one of the ones I searched. And it was one verse, but I went, before I replied, I went and read the whole chapter. Psalms 107. If you have your Bibles here today, we're going to be in Psalms 107. I apologize. I'm going to tell you guys, when I get up here and I feel emotional, it's because of my unworthiness. I'm an unworthy creature of God. I don't deserve what He does for me. So I apologize for that. I'm going to do my best to keep it together. But the verse that was shared with me was Psalm 107:1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for He is mercy, for His mercy endureth forever. That was a wonderful, wonderful scripture to share with me. But I read on, and I thought, I felt that slap up the back of my head. God was like, no, you're not going to talk about what you want. I want you to remember something. If I had to title this tonight, I told Dan, if I had to title it, it would be Reflections. Because it made me reflect. This book made me reflect. Second verse. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. That verse 3 makes me think of John in John chapter 6, verse 44. Christ says, no man cometh unto me unless my Father send him. And I paraphrase. I'm sorry if that's not exactly what it says, but that's what it says. Christ Himself said that. And it makes me think about when I read this, when David says this, Sean, you were pulled into this church. You were invited into this church, into the body of Christ. Steve, everyone here had an invitation. And when I read that, I think of when I received my invitation. I reflected of that moment. It wasn't God speaking to me directly and saying, hey, Rusty, you need to stop doing what you're doing and you need to come to me. Simply, the name of my Heavenly Father entered my ears. Someone mentioned the name of God, and I heard it. That was my invitation to start a life different than what I led, what I was leading. Verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. So here we're talking about the Israelites. We know that. But Scripture talks to me. And I was lost in the wilderness. I was lost. There was no end to my journey until I heard that invitation. I reflect back to that moment and I think, how blessed am I? One, that He had the thought to invite me, and two, that I was blessed to hear that invitation and accept it. I was in a way that I hungered and thirsted for something different, a new way. And he heard me. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to the city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He put me on a path to learn, to grow his path. And all he asked of me was that I would praise him. Verse 9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. From that moment on in my life, well, I believe I've told you before, I felt like my entire life up to that point, my entire adult life up to that point, was looking over my shoulder to see what was coming behind me. And from that point on, I was confident that I could look forward. That I could look forward without that worry, without that stress, without that weight tied about my neck. In my Bible, it has one of those fancy stars next to that verse. It references Christ. And it references Luke chapter 1, it says verse 53, but if I were to read that, I would read 50 to 54. I'm not going to read that. That's Elizabeth and Mary. They're both pregnant. They're both talking about the blessings that they've received from the Lord. And this is the promise that we will all be fed that has come. The coming of Christ. And when we think about it, we're called into that life. We're called to be close to Christ. And he's the only one that can feed us, that can fulfill our needs. Keep that in mind. Verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. That one really brought about a picture of remembrance. No more. I say to you young people that were at camp, for some reason, whatever reason that was, Psalm 23. I wasn't asked to preach a sermonette at campfire, but I had been looking at Psalm 23 throughout the day that day, and they came to me 10 minutes before campfire and said, we don't have anyone to do this. Can you do it? And I brought that forth to you guys. And I tried to make it as clear as I could that the valley of the shadow of death, that shadow that looms over you, is that world that I'm so angry with right now, that I'm so dissatisfied with right now. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. I look out here and I don't see anyone here that's ever lived a life with affliction and been bound by iron. None of you are sinners. None of you, you all are perfect in my eyes. We have to live in this world where we are shadowed about by sin and trials and temptations. And God said, cry out to me, and I will bring you forth out of that. And he's kept that promise. But remember, you're human. 11, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. So for me, I didn't know God, didn't know his rules. But man, did I rebel against my parents. And boy, the laws were not to be mine. I still say to this day, I put the West Wing on the Shawnee Police Department with all the fines I paid. You know, I'm not proud of that. Because if there was a rule, it was up to me to break that rule when I was younger. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. You cry out to the Lord with an earnest heart, and he's going to take all that away from you. He's going to make a way. He's not going to make you perfect, but he's going to make a way for you to be right and good. But listen, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Once God intervenes in your life because you've called on him, does not mean that you're not subject to those same trials, that same world, that same shadow that looms over us all, and you can become a fool again. But listen to this. 19, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Again. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Matthew 8:8, the centurion. God sent his word to heal them. He sent Jesus Christ. The centurion called out and had a plea, and God sent Christ and healed his servant. When you cried out to the Lord for the first time, and he answered, and he plucked you from your distresses, who did he send to heal you? Who did he bring about in your life? Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ that I received baptism. It's through Jesus Christ I believe that, as inadequate as I am, that I was called for a purpose. God sent his word, and that word is unbreakable. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. You know, we did that this week. We sacrificed that turkey, burned him up, ate him up, and we shared our thanks. We shared our blessings with those around us. I read that, and I thought, that's Thanksgiving for us. In this day, they sacrificed everything from a dove to a cow to a sheep. We don't do that anymore. But in relation to today, we sacrifice that bird each year and we sit around and we fellowship and we share our blessings, right? It's joyful to be gathered together with family. It is. There's rejoicing in that. And I hope, I know that this crowd, everyone had God on your heart that day. You were thankful for what you had. My prayer on Thursday, for whatever reason, was thanking God for my bounties and praying that He might allow me to share my bounty in the future. I don't know why. Those were the words that came to my lips when I was saying a prayer, a blessing over the food. I don't know. I love when the Lord intervenes. They that go down to the sea, now this is to all of us in our daily lives. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. We each go out in the vast world each day, that we go to work, that we get up, that we go to school. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind and lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. We go out in the world and we face those challenges each and every day. And sometimes we get to the point where it may be a rough day on the waters, or it might be an extremely rough day on the waters. We see those ups and downs. But what do? The same thing they do. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. When we're navigating those troubled waters, and I have to confess, my job is dealing with troubled waters, you know? People don't call unless they're mad. My stuff is broke, come fix it, right? And a lot of times when life, those troubled waters of life, are facing me, or I'm facing them, I get in that bullish way. Same way it was when I thought I was going to prepare for this sermon. I was going to do it my way. I get that way in this world. I face these challenges, and I do it my way. And I beat my head against the wall a lot. And then I call on the Lord. Be it a small prayer or a big prayer or a long prayer or a short prayer. But as soon as I reach out to God, who has never left me, I have to throw that out there. He's never left my side. He's just done what most of us parents do when we see our little ones running and you can tell the outcome of what's about to happen, but it's not life-threatening. So you let it happen, hoping that they learn a lesson. That's the way I see my Heavenly Father and my life. He sees me running towards that wall, looking the other way, and He's going to let me clip that wall. He's going to let me get that attitude adjustment on my own, because He knows that that's the best way I'm going to learn. Right? But as soon as I reach out to Him, He plucks me out of my distress. He calms the water. He makes it clear what I need to do next for a resolution to the problem I'm facing. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle in decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. Our Heavenly Father has a plan. And no matter what we desire when it comes to how outcomes are going to happen, His plan will always be. He can take a desolate land and make it fruitful. He can take a fruitful land and make it desolate. He has a plan. And his plan will always succeed. His plan will obviously always win out our plan. And what is great about this, and I'm not saying in any way, I'm definitely not talking about myself. But 42, the righteous shall see it. When I say I view you all as perfect, I view you all as righteous, as those who I yearn to be like when it comes to serving our Heavenly Father. I see you as the righteous. I see you as the ones who hear God's word and follow after it. I may be all wet, but, don't burst my bubble, please. I love y'all. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. In other words, all iniquity will stop. It will be shut up. It will be over. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So, I had other scriptures written down, but I didn't feel after I stood up here that they belonged. And I will tell you that you may think it's kind of an odd sermon, but I'm thankful, one, that my God never gives up on me. He called me. He invited me. I accepted that invitation. And as slothful as I get, as unworthy as I am, he's right there. He's always by my side. He's always willing when I call on him to lift me up. He pulled me from a place that was dark and dreary. And I read this and I reflected on where I was and where I am. As pitiful of a person as I am, as low as I am in my life, I stopped and read this and thought, I am so blessed. That world out there that I'm angry with, that I'm upset with, that I was ready to go at, they're missing out. There's so much that they're missing out on. I am thankful that I have a Heavenly Father that will never leave my side, and all He requires is that I praise Him. Praise God for being with me, for inviting me to be amongst you in this body. Praise God for being a parent that is willing to forgive, that's willing to teach, and is willing to love no matter how pitiful I am or how unworthy I am. Thank you.